By the way the land is laying, I think I'd be safe in saying that over the next hill we'll be home. It's a straight and narrow highway, no detour and no byways, and over the next hill we'll be home. From the prophets I've been hearing, I would say the end is nearing, for I see familiar landmarks all along. By the dreams that I've been dreaming, there will come a great redeeming, and over the next hill we'll be home. By the speed that we've been making, I would say there's no mistaking that over the next hill we'll be home. There's a place that we are nearing that so many have been fearing, and over the next hill we'll be home. When we get there, we're all hoping that we'll find the gate is open, and there'll be a refuge from the coming storm. For the way's been long and weary, but at last the end is nearing, and over the next hill we'll be home.
I I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that arose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded death to wait, lives in
Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You guide us, you lead us, you support us, you keep us going. Hi, this is Jerry. I had to start the show after that song. I played it twice because it was a specific request at that moment to the Holy Spirit by God. Specifically asked for that song. I was planning on playing a different song, but it was interesting because earlier today I heard a song. It wasn't the same song, but it reminded me of that song in our studio. And now he's asked me to play that, so I did. That was not on my mind, but apparently it's going to be the theme of the night. I'm literally going to have some people at my door while this show is going on. And it's meaningful, and we'll just see what kind of picture is painted when I get through the things that I had for today, tonight, in our show. It certainly touched me when he asked me to play that song. I think what I will do is let me read through the lyrics of that song. The song is called At My Door, and it's by a group called Charmaine. And here are the lyrics of that song. I don't want to stay lost here in the night. I can see a glimpse. I can see a light. It's you. I know it's you. Just another dream, just another lie. That's what people say, but they don't realize that I know you're coming for me. They say I'm going crazy, don't care how long it's taking. I know you're coming, I know you're down the road, almost at my door. Endless sun through my window, I'll say goodbye to the night, so I won't close my eyes till I see your face. I can see it now, a picture in my mind, coming through the dark and lighting up the sky. It's you, I know it's you. Just another dream, just another lie, that's what people say, but they don't realize that I know you're coming for me. They say I'm going crazy, don't care how long it's taking, I know you're down the road, almost at my door. Endless sun through my window, I'll say goodbye to the night, so I won't close my eyes till I see your face. I hear a knock, I know it's you, my heart is racing, there's no mistaking, yeah. It's you as it flies open in pure emotion. Yeah, it's you. Run to the door, fall to my knees. They say I'm going crazy. Don't care how long it's taking. I know you're down the road, almost at my door. Endless sun through my window. I'll say goodbye to the night, so I won't close my eyes until I see your face. So that was the song you just asked me to play. Those are the lyrics. Certainly touching me. I don't know if I needed that encouragement, but I guess I did, because that's what we got. I love it. It's a great encouragement, and I think we're going to see. Look, things are happening. I know they're happening. Let me check in. I see Tana on the line. I'm going to say hi to chat. Just Rosemary and a guest in chat right now. Hi, Rosemary, guest. And it's Tana.
Hi, I'm heading to that wonderful meeting.
I've been driving.
And I love you all. I love you, Jesus. So is that song
yes.
saying that we're going to see Jesus tonight? Is that what he was?
I was playing. I was. Yeah. Well, it doesn't really say tonight, but the song basically says, "I don't care how long it takes. I know it's you. I know you're coming, and you're almost at my door." And that was the song he asked me to play. I actually ended up playing it twice, but just before I played it, he asked me. I was looking at a song, and then he planted this song in my mind earlier today at my door, and then he told me to play it. So,
is
what
that
I did,
the
and
At
those
My Door
lyrics.
Song? Oh, is that
mm-hmm.
the At My Door yeah, song that I like to play?
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, Charmaine or whatever. Yeah. So
good
yeah.
Song.
So yeah, it is a good song, and I just read all the lyrics to it, which honestly I don't get all the lyrics a lot of times when I'm listening to music, but I did this time because I looked them up.
Sometimes I don't either. I mean, I get at my door, and that's good enough for me. I know you're coming, and I know you're at my door, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah. It's got this thing that they say, I'm going crazy, don't care how long it's taking. I know you're down the road, almost at my door. So that's one of his messages from today. He also gave me a statement in the for the show tonight. I typed it in there. My favor is with you. He told me that even before I asked, as soon as I brought up the schedule episode page, he said, my favor is with you. And that means a lot to me for all of our sakes. Then he gave me a verse, and it was Galatians 6:18, which is the last verse of Galatians. And it's a sign-off. It says, brothers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and be with your spirit. Amen. And but I understood that all of Galatians 6 was sort of the message, and that's part of what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm sort of rattling in my head. I'm going to talk a little bit. There's a couple of articles that have been up recently on End Time News about, a lot of them have come out of Charisma, and that Ricky Scarpero has put up, there's certainly nothing wrong with encouraging a strengthening of the church, his church. I just thought I would, there's one or two things to address there. Tana, did you have anything you wanted to share with us tonight before you get to your meeting?
Well, I love Jesus. And I wanted to say, I'll give the whole gas report over here. I don't smell any gas. I haven't smelled it since the earthquake.
Good.
In Newport Beach. I mean, we did have a 4.5 yesterday, but I didn't smell gas after it. You know, supposedly the governor, Judy was leaving a message that he called the state of emergency, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, I could care less. Honestly, I'm at peace with it. I mean, I don't, like, I'm not out running and like, oh, what should they do? You know, and that means, so she's like, did you ask? I haven't asked the Lord about it, what I should do, but I'm sensing about me, because I don't feel an uproar about it or anything. I'm like, whatever. You know, I have faith that I'm protected. So this is what I'm telling her. I have faith that I'm protected. And she didn't feel I needed to do anything either. I don't feel I need to do anything. I mean, the Holy Spirit would be putting it in my, you know, gut, like, you got to do something, you know, gotta da da da. But, you know, I'm at total peace with it. I don't smell any gas, you know, I'm fine. I cover my house with the blood of Jesus, and, you know, I protect with Psalm 91. So, and myself. So, I mean, I have God's protection, and I am faithful that He's protecting me. I'm His bride, and nothing's going to happen to me. That's the way I feel. I have faith.
Exactly.
I have faith.
Yep.
And I trust.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not, it's happening around me, and, you know, sorry for the people that it's affecting, but as far as, like, for me and my house, we worship the Lord, and we are protected.
Amen.
Amen. So that's my gas report. I don't smell it. And I mean, I smelled it that one day when they cracked, right after the earthquake, but I haven't smelled it since,
yeah.
Even though we did have that earthquake yesterday, but I wasn't outside after it, so...
Yeah, I looked at some of the reports today about the specifics that people were saying over there, and a lot of these reports right now are coming out of, a lot of the headlines are coming from trial lawyers who, let's just say, they certainly are advocating for the people who are endangered. They also have a reputation of exaggerating for the sake of their intended clients' benefit and their own. However, there are a lot of reports of anomalies coming out of the area, a lot of health problems. Apparently, in the immediate area, there are persistent bleeding noses of adults and children and things like that. It looks like in the next few days, maybe even today, they were supposed to be releasing some air sampling information, which was going to describe the types of compounds that are in the air. Anyway, you're right. You're protected with the blood of Jesus, as are many others. And that whole area is protected because you're there, Tana.
Yeah. Yes, and that's exactly. So, and Judy's above it, I'm below it. So we're surrounding it. So, I mean, so nothing's going to happen until the bride goes. And, you know, that area is like half hour north of me. But, yeah, I'm the thing is, for the people in the immediate area in Porter Ranch, the people that live in Porter Ranch are being affected. And they even, like, evacuated some schools and relocated some schools and stuff. So, I'm sure they can smell it, but I don't smell it.
Yeah. Well, I think it is a big problem. I mean, it's pretty much everybody is agreeing that it is nobody can ever remember a leak this big in a populated area, and I kind of get the impression nobody's really ever experienced a leak this big
ever.
ever. Yeah, and so it is a big deal. And, you know, I made a comment offhand yesterday that it was reminding me of the BP thing in the Gulf with the oil problem, because the problem they have is very similar in their inability to shut the flow. And the intended solution is also very similar. It's just that it's above ground instead of deep in the water. And I hadn't read any of these reports yet. Then I read these reports today. I looked them up, and there was more than one reference exactly to that it's on that scale. But really, the mechanics of solving the problem are also very similar, except it's not underwater. So the fact that they don't have to work underwater is good. The fact that it's in a populated area is very bad. It's going to be months before there's a hope of this thing being cut off. And that's extraordinary. I mean, it really is extraordinary.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, but it's all, you know, God's got his hand in it. And it's, you know, and yes, and this gas can make people very sick. It can make you sick. Definitely. It's a bad thing. Definitely a bad thing. I'm sure the people in that area, like I said, are definitely affected by it. I'm blessed, you know, I'm protected. I'm not affected by it. It would just rain like buckets these past couple of days, so that probably helped in calming down the air a little bit. But
right. Well, it certainly will have everybody's attention to the extent that it's the 100 or so other extraordinary things going on in the world also are going to be getting attention.
It's
unreal. It's absolutely unreal.
Speaking of earthquakes, yesterday and today I looked at the earthquake reports. What's going on in the British Virgin Islands? Because I saw like at least 15 there yesterday and today. Is there something going on in the Virgin Islands? Is there a volcano under there or something?
There is. By the way, I believe this El Nino activity is indicative of a lot of volcanic activity in the ocean that they don't want to tell people about. I think that's what's really heating up the water, honestly, because we know there's increased volcanic activity all over the world, the entire Pacific plate, the rim of it, but also elsewhere in the middle of it. For example, Hawaii is rife with lots of volcanic activity, and not all of it's above the surface. And so I do believe this El Nino is not just a weather effect. I think it's a geomagnetic earth core change that is affecting the surface temperatures and volcanic activity and everything. One of the things I mentioned this video that Pat had sent, and I will try to, you know, I'm actually trying to look up the British Virgin Islands here, but while I'm speaking, but see, I see Puerto Rico, or maybe that's the, oh, that's it.
Yeah, these
that's an interesting area. there, that area in general is used to having a lot of activity, but that's a really strong concentration. And normally you see that closer to Puerto Rico, but it is the same general vicinity. So it could be volcanic activity. Let's see. Well, no, those are seismic. That's because those are 40 kilometers deep. So that's way below the water.
They're not huge. I mean, they're not. It's only like 3.3s and 2.3s, but there are like 15 of them yesterday and today. And like, what's going on over
today,
there?
In the last 24 hours, Tana, I'm on over magnitude 2.5. There are 112 in the last 24 hours.
In Virgin Islands or just in general?
Well, in that cluster.
Oh, wow.
In that cluster near the Virgin Islands. Yeah,
that's
huge
crazy.
Numbers. And those are, even for that area, it's not unprecedented, but it is a large number. Let me try one thing here just to see. I'm going to go 7 days plus 2.5. And then I'll zoom in and say in that area, in that same cluster, there are over 7 days, there have been 389 earthquakes. And this is in an area that is approximately 30 miles square.
Wow.
Okay.
So that's what's going on over there. Like, they don't have fracking.
It's a normal area. There's a tectonic plate there, and it is a normal area for a lot of activity like that.
Oh, okay.
It's just that normally you see it around the edges of Puerto Rico, and this is to the east a little bit. It's close, but it's to the east, and it is still a large, really large number. There's no doubt about it.
God, it's definitely God. I mean, I know it's God, but
it's all part of the earth changes that are occurring. What was I saying? I was saying about El Nino and the volcanic activity, and it is picking up, not the magnitudes as much. But you know what? Watch for something in southern Italy, by the way, in the next couple of days to see if something, I saw something indicated to me, you might see as much as a 6 in southern Italy.
Oh, really?
So, or in that general area. Yeah, it wasn't a forecast. It was actually because of one that happened. If that moves to the surface the way we've seen in the Western Pacific, it could be a pretty significant earthquake on land in the southern Italy area. So, let's see. Trying to remember, I had. Collecting my thoughts here.
I know.
That's good. Thank you, Tana. I'm glad you were able to call in. One of the things, the science. You will hear something you have heard probably in the news, discussions about the ice in Antarctica melting, the ice shelf thinning, and that kind of thing. There's thinning of glaciers at a rapid pace in certain areas. What they are not explaining, they want everybody to believe it's the nefarious global warming, the biggest red herring in the history of the world. But no, it's not, because it's the earth crust warming. It's not air temperature warming. But what they're not telling people is that these glaciers and this ice in Antarctica are melting from the bottom. They are thinning from the bottom because the crust of the earth where these ice structures are is actually warming. So it is not a global atmospheric phenomenon, which is our first thought when we hear about global warming. This, in fact, is geothermal warming, which is melting the ice. Now, this is the same phenomena that has actually been seen and measured across many of the planets in our solar system. And it has been noticed and measured on, several of the planets, Saturn, I don't know if Neptune, anyway, a lot of the outer planets, and it's also been measured on inner planets. I think Mercury and Venus in particular, and also Mars. So this is something that's happening to all of the planets in the solar system, which means there is something much bigger than an aerosol can affecting.
You know what you're saying? Yeah, definitely. You know, my old aerosol deodorant didn't cause all that. Even though I did use a lot, and it probably could.
No,
that's right. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, though, you were saying that. Or go ahead.
Go ahead. Say that.
I was just thinking when you were saying that, in Revelation, in like the last book, I want to say, and God knew, and then came down a new heaven and a new earth. So this old earth is passing away. The old heavens are passing away. When you were saying that about the planets and everything, I'm like, because God's creating new heaven and new earth. New heavens and new earth. So.
Well, he's certainly, he's cranking up the heat. And some people say it's the seventh planet, Nibiru, or whatever. It could be simply changes in the sun and the solar system. But I do believe there's a gravitational component here. And I'm just going to throw this out. While everyone's talking about this planet and so on, I just want to mention it's been on my mind for a long time regarding this object that passes through the solar system periodically, that many of the characteristics that are described, making the sun disappear, darkness on the earth, which is biblical, and also the fact that it's hard to see in space, a lot of these things are possible descriptions of a small black hole. It does not have to be a planet. It could be a collapsed sun, a binary twin of the sun. That if it collapsed, maybe it's a small black hole. And interesting, there was a story just today about they have discovered a new small black hole, which they say are very rare. However, whatever it is, we can't change it. But I do believe it's part of God's plan. And so I would not be afraid of the Anunnaki or any alien race, hopping back to planet Earth as this thing passes by. That I would not. This is it's heresy, and it basically, and it's nonsense. However, the geomagnetic effects of this thing could be very real. And I don't expect that we're going to be here to see them other than possibly as a comeback. If we are here to see it, it'll be in a role, a transitional role to help other people who need the help. So,
watching with our bucket of popcorn from above, like, oh my gosh, look at that. Ooh,
That's right. A TV drama on Heaven Vision. The Heaven Network.
Our own Discovery Channel. Yeah.
That's it. So he led me to play that song and share the lyrics at my door, and that was just now. And then I think I want to get into End Time News, End Time Headlines website has had several articles which in their basic spirit are very appropriate, encouraging people to return to the faith, have strength in the faith, and what have you. And they like I just said, they are appropriate. I want to really emphasize that. I'm moved here to, there was one today, and I would just give this as an example. Many of these come out of Charisma magazine, and I'm I don't want to be directly critical here. What I want to do is simply share what I might call an expanded perspective on some of the things that I'm seeing here. He starts out fine when he writes, whoever wrote this, it was Bert Farias. Anyway, it's the article from it. Second half of this article is about somebody who's written a book about quote-unquote, fastest-growing church in the world, which is in India. Guy's written a book, Seven Lessons from the World's Fastest-Growing Congregation. And I'm going to try to share one of the stories that are in this article here. And it says when they were, it says this is a church, the guy who wrote the book is Dr. Michael Brown. When they were about to embark on their building project, Pastor Satish called for 40 days of prayer and fasting, with believers fasting and joining together in corporate prayer as much as they were able to. The problem was that he called for this during rainy season. Basically, it was a hard time of the year. When they came to the end of the 40-day period, he called for another 40 days of prayer and fasting. And when that ended, he called for 40 days more. So 120 days consecutive of corporate prayer and fasting. It was then that he received the word, he said, to build the entire facility in 52 days. Well, I was reading this, and I sort of program at the beginning of this few paragraphs, and then he said, to build a building. Now, in large congregations, they pretty much do need buildings. And I'm not going to directly, but remember, the scripture is quite clear that the quote-unquote builders, the people who build, the build of the guild, let me just say that, and you can apply your wisdom to that, the build of the guild, these are not necessarily the people who have God's leading in mind. And I'm not directly criticizing any individual here, any specific church, but when I heard and read that they had done 120 consecutive days of prayer and fasting, I was, and it was for the purpose of building a building, I was a little chagrined because of all the things in these end times that a body of believers could be doing and could be seeking in 120 days of prayer and fasting. I mean, because let's face it, if you have a congregation of people who are new or in the faith, and I don't imagine a Christian church in India is typical, okay? I imagine that they are stronger than the typical church body we'd see here in the United States. However, what I want to point out is after 120 days of prayer and fasting, I imagine just about any congregation will do whatever the pastor says. I'm just saying. Because everybody's exhausted and tired and they just want it to be over. A lot of these articles that he's placing on his website, from Charisma, you know, they sort of sound right, and they might be right, but I have a little bit of a weird feeling about it. And in contrast to that, embellishing the notion of growing church. You know what? I mean, 120 days of prayer and fasting. This is what he says. This guy who writes this book, he says, there are several other key factors and attributes to the quality, growth, and success of this church. One, solid preaching on vital themes of the Bible, including sin and repentance, caring for the flock in many sacrificial ways, exercising supernatural faith, standing with Israel, having a strong work ethic, and using media wisely to spread the gospel. Now, I wouldn't have to work very hard to put a cynical bent on those things. However, let us just consider it this way. Could they have spent 120 days prayer and fasting for the sake of solid preaching and and including sin and repentance? Could they have spent those 120 days caring for the flock, and seeking guidance on caring for the flock? Could they have spent those 120 days of prayer and fasting, exercising supernatural faith? Could they have spent those 120 days of prayer and fasting for Israel and God's provision in the end times? Could they have spent those 120 days of prayer and fasting to encourage a strong work ethic? And of course, that ought to be work in the Lord, and using media wisely to spread the gospel. Well, 120 days of prayer and fasting for wisdom of spreading the gospel. Now, if they had spent 120 days of prayer and fasting focused on those goals, would that seem a grander or less grand endeavor than spending 120 days of prayer and fasting regarding building a building? That's a question that I ask. I'll leave it to anybody who's listening to come up with their own perspective on that. I see Mama Pat's called in. Let me bring her on. Hi, Mama Pat. She's muted herself, and she's there. Hi. And Tana's on the line. Rain is there. What happened to Rosemary? Raina is in chat, but Rosemary poofed. Where'd she go? And I'm not really trying to be critical here. I'm just trying to offer some perspective, because in this was on my mind yesterday, and today I think I'm just going to go ahead and say this. You know, the strength of God, the strength of the church, the strength of the bride is in being in the Word of God, seeking frequently His voice, and learning to hear His guidance in our lives and trusting His guidance in our lives. And what I would say is the growth and the strengthening of the church isn't going to be found bordered within four walls. Okay, it's going to be found, if the church is going to grow in His power and His faith. Oh, there she is, Rosemary's back, yay! And perhaps it should be the building following the people, and not the people following the building. You know, if the pastors of the church want to follow the people who actually believe in Scripture, who believe in the Word of God, who believe in the virgin birth, who are seeking the Holy Spirit and have developed a relationship and an ear for the Word of God in their lives, it is those people whom the church should follow and not the other way around. And that's where the true growth and strength of the church will be found. That's where it will happen. It will not happen in a building program. It will not happen corporately in organizations that are led by pastors who don't really believe the biblical messages which are in Scripture and are preaching out of how-to books, okay? And I don't mean this as a chastisement. I just want to offer an alternate perspective. And to continue that, I hear Mama Pat. Mama Pat, are you going to say anything, or are you just going to be undercover? Or maybe that's Tom. Okay. In keeping with that, the Lord did give me this statement.
I'm here.
There you are. You sound much better.
Yeah. I need prayers for my daughter. She went to the doctor today. Okay. Her liver's shot. She has cirrhosis, and we don't know where this is going. Mm-hmm. She's on all kind of medications, and I don't think there's a cure. She's 49 in March, so please keep her in prayer. I don't know where it's going. I just have to trust God.
Okay.
It's just one dang thing after another every day, but a lot of us are running this.
This is Geraldine, right?
Yeah. She's got the diabetes, and she smokes. She's cutting down, but she's very sweet, you know, and we had a long talk about a lot of stuff, and trying to make her realize she's got to take care of her meds. I do her meds for her, and she's got to take the insulin right, and she saw the doctor. But I'm kind of upset with the doctor. I said, you need a new doctor. He tells you you have your liver shot and you have the cirrhosis, but he doesn't give you any kind of anything for it or what to do. So I'm going to have to research it online now. She was to the hospital 2 months ago, just real quick, and they felt her stomach and said, oh, your liver's fine. And then she gets this today. So it's like she's all swollen up. She's taking water pills for water because of the diabetes.
Yeah.
So just keep her in prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it,
Father. We
really. Okay,
Father, we ask your guidance and the softening of the spirit of Geraldine, so she will hear your wisdom and know that she needs to take her circumstances more seriously and take care of herself in coordination with your leading. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks. She will, but it's obviously she's getting a wake up call here.
Yeah.
Big wake up.
You know, she has a schizoaffective, but she's very, very, very smart. It's brain chemistry disorder. The medicines kind of take care of that, but she knows which end is up, and she has a boyfriend and everything. I mean, she's to talk to her, you wouldn't think there's a thing wrong at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, but she's a sick puppy.
Yeah.
Very sick.
Well,
anyway.
I was scheduling the show here this evening, the Lord, as soon as I opened up the page to do that, the Lord just said, my favor is with you. And so that was tonight, and I'm sure it's for all of us. And
he gave me
a verse, Galatians 6:18, which is the very last verse of Galatians. Brothers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And led me to really the totality of Galatians 6, which is the last chapter of Galatians. And actually, I'm going to read through that right now with possibly one or two comments here. This is what I've been led to do this evening.
Okay.
I'm going to check in chat real quick. And Rabbi Shmeri is also praying.
Yeah, hi guys. I love you all.
And so that's good. So this is Galatians 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, these are the burdens of other believers.
Yeah.
For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each person should examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting in himself alone and not in respect to someone else. In other words, examine yourselves, but embrace that which the Lord has done with you and through you. We don't have to be nothing. We are not nothing in God. That in God we have a justification in our purpose. For each person will have to carry his own load. The one who has taught the message must share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. Do not be mocked, or God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, because the flesh is corrupted. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit, because the Spirit is from God. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. This is an encouragement to all of us. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. In other words, we should be focused not just on all the lost souls of the world, but actually more primarily on our brothers and sisters who already believe. Look at what large letters I use as I write you in my own handwriting. Now, this is a translational hiccup here. What he's saying is, look at the lengthy letter I'm writing you. Look at the, he's saying in his condition, he is writing he's writing large letters to them to emphasize how much he cares. Those who want to make good impressions in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised, which is also... This is a metaphor, if you will. It's literal in this case, but it's also a metaphor for appearances, but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. In other words, well, he's saying, because this would be an attack, just this would be to save yourself from an attack from the Jews. is what he's saying. What if I read this a different way? Those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who can tell you to focus on appearances, but only to avoid being criticized for the cross of Christ. The next verse, for even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves. However, they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. And this is one of the motivations. They want to be able to claim righteousness because they associate with you, but they're only willing to associate with you if you keep up appearances. And if that doesn't describe a lot of dead churches, I don't know what would. So he's saying, you know, they want you to keep up appearances so they can claim righteousness through your appearance of righteousness. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. In other words, his faith and his relationship with Christ has separated him from the world, and his boasting is about that and nothing else. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy to the Israel mercy to the Israel of God. That's an interesting order of, I presume he's meaning mercy to the God of Israel. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body scars for the cause of Jesus. This is the next to last verse of all of Galatians. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body scars for the cause of Jesus. In other words, he has the righteousness of God, and he bears the scars of the life that has resulted from that. And the last verse, 6:18, brothers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's a blessing, not just a hope. So that's Galatians 6. And it is his exhortation and conclusion about how to live and how to find righteousness and so on, and in his circumstances. So,
There's something in John.
What, okay. Yeah,
no,
go ahead.
On.
Well, I'm just saying that's what he led me to today. And that's basically the message.
Yeah. I'm looking at Psalm 52, 1 to 5. Also, there's he talks about St. John Warren. This is interesting. I just came across this verse. St. John Warren, the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is ready in the world, is already in the world.
Yeah,
this is 1 John 4:3. He's talking about Antichrist then. But is he talking about something else? Or, I don't know. I just have a couple of scripture verses here. He warned of savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after him. That's Acts 20:29-30. He also spoke of some who will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. That's 1 Timothy 4:1. The other thing he says here, he says, this is from, I'm just going to read 1 to 5, because it kind of goes into what you were saying. Why do you boast in evil, you wicked man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. And it says, too, about the shepherds. Woe to now, this is what you were talking about the church.
Whoa.
Woe to the shepherds.
Yep.
Who mislead and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord.
Yep.
Therefore, thus says the Lord of God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds. That's from Jeremiah 23:1-3. And he says, and Jesus declares, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to, you know, the millstone around the neck and be drowned. That's from Matthew 18.
Mm-hmm.
So this page just popped up, and it had all these verses on it. I said, yeah, you can feel the Holy Spirit. And it's all about the deceivers. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's 2 Timothy 3:13. It's all about, this whole page is about deception that was sent to me. Oh, wow. I could go on, but enough. So it was,
no,
it,
that's
it kind
good.
Of all,
no, that's good. It does fit. Let
it
me,
does fit.
Use,
do you see how he
let
works?
Let me use a play on words here that reflects that.
Wow.
These articles use the word the corporate church. And you know, the end time revival is not going to be seen in the corporate church because, A, it's a corporation. It's
yeah.
a business. And it is, yes. And this is what pastors are taught, most of them, in seminary in one way or another.
Terrible.
And the revival will come through the Spirit. It has always come through the Spirit. And it's come in unexpected ways, and it is our expectation that it's going to come prophetically after the worldwide rapture, when people recognize that, oh, hey, there's God and he's mad. We'd better get on our knees. And there will be some with hardened hearts who will refuse to do that and will rely on their worldly and earthly things, and most of them are going to be led by the opposing spirit. You know, there could not be an antichrist spirit until there was a Christ. But as
right.
soon as there was a Christ, as soon as there yeah. was a Christ, there was an Antichrist.
Yeah.
And this is the validation in certain respects of Christ, because, the world doesn't recognize it because they're not aware, and they're not open to understanding. But, with Christ came the Antichrist. When that door opens, it swings both ways. And this is also going to be true in a certain respect with the departure of the bride and the church. And I don't mean the corporate church. There are good pastors. There's a lot more good parishioners than there are pastors, I believe, but proportionally. But nevertheless, there's an exchange. There's an exchange coming. And on a completely unrelated subject, I want to mention something out of context, and this is. This is food for thought, and I don't, this is not aimed at anyone or anything. I just want to mention a thought, it crossed my mind that some people are not sure about, bodily rapture or spiritual rapture, if you know, our souls or what have you, out of our physical bodies. You know, I would allow that, you know, either one is theoretically possible, but I just want to remind that the one template we do have for translation, and we are expecting translation, is Jesus' translation. And when he was seen by the apostles, when he was resurrected, he was in bodily form, he could be physically touched, and yet he could walk through walls. And he had physical holes where he had been crucified in his arms and legs. And so all I know is if Jesus was translated into an alternate physical form, I suspect that's what we will experience. Also, remember Paul's phrase where I knew a man, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, I know not, which we discussed not a few weeks ago about being possibly the already translated John. But the point is, Paul was saying he knew a man, and he did not know whether he'd been translated or not, because he couldn't tell the difference. Okay. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I know it's out of context. I'm just mentioning that. It's just food for thought for anybody who might be pondering that. And that's pretty much what I have. I should go ahead and kind of close things out right now.
I
need to spend some time.
I can read this another time.
I need to spend some time with some family here because they are literally at my door. You know what? I want to read. I'm going to review again. I played the song At My Door by his request after the show started. And I'm going to read the lyrics of this one more time because this is a neat request. So all of these things I've discussed tonight, I've been led by him specifically to address. Here are the lyrics from At My Door from Charmaine, which we have in our studio. I don't want to stay lost here in the night. I can see a glimpse. I can see a light. It's you. I know it's you. Just another dream, just another lie. That's what people say, but they don't realize that I know you're coming for me. They say I'm going crazy, don't care how long it's taking. I know you're down the road, almost at my door. Endless sun through my window, I'll say goodbye to the night, so I won't close my eyes till I see your face. I can see it now, a picture in my mind, coming through the dark and lighting up the sky. It's you, I know it's you. Just another dream, just another lie, that's what people say, but they don't realize that I know you're coming for me. They say I'm going crazy, don't care how long it's taking. I know you're down the road, almost at my door. Endless sun through my window, I'll say goodbye to the night, so I won't close my eyes till I see your face. I hear a knock, I know it's you, my heart is racing, there's no mistaking, yeah. It's you as it flies open in pure emotion, yeah, it's you. Run to the door, fall to my knees. They say I'm going crazy, I don't care how long it's taking, I know you're down the road, almost at my door. Endless sun through my window, I'll say goodbye to the night, so I won't close my eyes till I see your face.
Nice.
And so that's leading today. So I'm going to close it out with sort of my favorite song. And we will meet in the air or here, and we'll see this. So anyway, I love you all, and thank you for being here. We'll get back together tomorrow if we're still here.
Sure.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The skies don't seem to be as dark as usual. The stars seem brighter than they've been before. And deep within I feel my soul is stirring, as though my hope has been restored. The shepherds say they've heard the voice of angels, confirming protected well from Herod's anger, is our Father's Son and the Son of Man. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here, I can tell. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, Emmanuel. He's a Savior we is the